All right, and welcome back to the Real God number 444 Real Podcast. I'm with my co-host Morgana. You want to say something to the people?
What's up, everybody? So happy to be back with you guys today. Yay.
Yes, yes. No, so we want to continuously talk about how we serve a real God that desires to intervene in our real problems because we're real people, right? Today, we really just wanted to kind of catch up and talk through, hey, what does it look like to pray well? How important is it? And we may get to a hot take on it. Hey, what does it look like at times to allow the Spirit to lead you in praying in tongues, right? It's a controversial subject with denominations, but it is a thing that is spoken about in the scriptures. So we want to speak the scriptures. We want to be as contextually sound as we can be at times. But yeah, so more for you, what do you feel like has been like an impactful moment for you and what you know prayer has like been a catalyst or pushed you forward?
Oh, man. It's so interesting that you ask me about this because I was recently, you know, I have like a journal that I specifically write to the Lord just about what's going on in my life, things that I'm praying to him about, my way of just having a conversation with him and just sharing him with him what's on my heart. And one of the things, one of the big prayers last year was, it might seem small, but it was about losing weight and, you know, having a healthier lifestyle, right? And so, I'm trying. But fast forward to the same month, I went back this past week and I looked through my journal and I realized that the same month that we're currently in, I was asking the Lord last year in March for me to be able to lose weight and help me with my health journey. And it's funny how God answers prayers because he allowed me to get a job at FedEx. And it basically consists of using a lot of body work. And with that being said, I just want to let y'all know that my Lord and Savior has helped me lose 34 pounds since last year. Okay. But seriously, just with that, it's small stuff, but he even listens to the small things that we ask for. So I have seen God move in such a mighty way. And, you know, having my health in shape is very important because I was going downhill. A lot of health issues were beginning to come up. And I'm like, man, if I'm wanting to really be out here traveling, doing the Lord's work, I need to be in shape. I legit need to be in shape. And to be in shape, to fight the spiritual warfare as well, honey, because you can't be overweight then thinking that you can sit up here and be fighting these spirits out here with Jesus. No. You need to be in shape. Have your mind right. So anyways, there's of course more that we'll get into, but just to start out with, that has been one of the big things that has happened already in my life that I've seen a big change in. So, yeah.
No, you own it. Like the way I think of it is when people always say, don't pray for patience. Because you're not going to get it just given to you and endowed, and now you're the paragon of patience. No, you're going to get tempted by some very nervous people to get on your last everlasting nerves to test your patience. And then finally, I realize, why am I so angry? Because the Lord is growing your patience through people.
Right.
Or experience. Right. Yeah, so you talk about FedEx, you're like, oh, I'm just thinking, all right, Lord, you're just going to let me take a nap, and then, you know, we're going to be done. We ain't got to use the Planet Fitness membership. You're like, no. He's like, let me get you a fix. We'll take you a while to take off.
Right. And how my boss puts it, so you're actually getting paid to lose weight. So, and I said, you know what? That I never thought about it that way, but yes, I am getting paid to lose weight right now.
You need to make a business out of this and write him a check. But no.
Yeah, right. Seriously.
So, yes. For me, when it's come to prayer, the thoughts, the things I've thought about is like prayer is something that I've learned when I'm not doing it consistently, it always shows, right?
Yes.
When I'm doing it consistently, it's very rare that my mood or my temperament is affected by things that should affect my temperament. It's almost as if, like, if I'm thinking about lifting weights, every time I've done well with my weight, with my muscle mass, any of those kind of things, it's been because I done at least done 6 weeks of just being consistent in the weight room. Mm. You feel better. Your energy level is better. You really drink more or less coffee. I think sometimes it's the same with prayer. Like, I never have confusion on where I'm going in my experience.
Yeah.
I've consistently been talking to the Lord more than one time a day.
Yes.
Me, where I saw that the clearest was during the biggest transition in me and my wife's life. And that was when we moved up here to North Carolina. Like, we made a decision to move. I think we found out about the position in August. We came up here, I think, once for an interview. The second time was for a meet and greet. The elders had already decided they wanted to go with us. And the meet and greet was more to meet the folks. But really, we had decided to sell our house, hire a moving company, transition from my full-time job, and find a place to live in less than a six-week period. Might have been more like
wow.
I think about it, because we didn't know for sure about the job. Yeah, because I applied mid-August. I don't think we knew for sure about the job to the end of August, and we were moved up here by mid-October. And there, in my head, now my wife might have been different. I ain't gonna sit here and lie to y'all on the pod. She might have felt different. But in my head, it was, oh yeah, man, the Lord's behind us. Yeah, we sold a house in 3 weeks in a market that's 50-50 at the time. It's worse now, but it was definitely 50-50 at the time. This is for our first house. We found an apartment, no problem. We found a mover, no problem. My job lets me work part-time so that we can keep, you know, the bills at bay. There's really nothing that's gone wrong, both between my council of mentors and my family and the selling of the house, for me to think, you know, the Lord isn't behind it. But also, there were some tough conversations at the time, and I wasn't even stressed about them. This was like, man, look, love you, understand where you're at. Lord's behind this, man. So not leaving you, but gotta go where he's sending me. Well, yeah. I didn't realize I was moving so quick at the time that by the time we got on the road, my wife was like, this is just a lie. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. connected to the vine. My bad. That's this, we are moving. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
We're gonna do it. You know, got to be to church tomorrow. My bad. That's on me.
Yeah.
But what I realized is why, looking back, I should have been stressed. Oh, it's like, no. The Lord had ordained steps, and I didn't have to even worry about being ahead of him. I could hear him mid motion saying something. Be like, yeah, so can you decide today? No, I'm going to talk to my elders first. And then after that, yeah. You know, can I hit you up on Wednesday, Lord? Like, good job. Don't just get him a yes now. You need to pause. Just
do that. Wow.
Yeah, okay. Wow. Right. This is even before talking with Eric. Right? I'm like, oh, usually I would just say, yeah, let's do it. Like, no. Run this by your mentors. That's good that they offered you the position, but run it by your mentors first. But I think the only reason that much transition wasn't that stressful is because of prayer. Like, at the time frame, both me and my wife had prayed, and we had fasted about, hey, Lord, let's put our yes on the table. You know, yes, it'll be a pay cut. Yes, we might have to move. But you know what? Lord, if we going to trust you in the big things, we need to trust you in the small things, and vice versa. And so for me, it was like, man, yeah, there's no way we could have made that many decisions. Literally, our kids weren't even 6 months yet. And my dad wow. was still living. There was no way we could have made that decision without the Lord being like, hey, hey, let me steady you. Right.
Hold up.
Right. So, but no. So for you though, Morgana, we'll switch notes a little bit. What do you feel like are some of the negative impacts of when we're not connected to the vine in prayer?
Oh man. Confusion. First off, let's just go ahead and say that's the number one for me. I feel like I'm very scatterbrained a lot. I start to focus on the mountain and not how God can get me through the struggle, or not leaning into him. I feel like I'm not that close with the Lord. I just feel like I've gotten off track in general in my relationship with the Lord in general. It's really having a relationship with somebody. Like if you don't talk to them for a while, they're going to be confused. Yep. You're going to be confused. You're going to be like, okay, they don't like me. There's a lot of negativity going in your brain about that relationship. You start to question if they love you, if they want to be with you, if you're safe with them, like all of that. And so not having that time with the Lord, man, it is vital to have quiet time with God every day. Every day. Don't skip a beat. I tell my friends all the time, skip a day, see what happens. Skip a day. Go ahead. Skip a day, girl. Skip one. I want you to do it. Do it. You know? I wish you would, girl. Do it. No. But seriously. and you see, I mean, just this year alone, I dedicated every day like a different devotional book for me to read. And it's all based off of what you said. What now?
We trying to get like Morgana when we grow up. No.
But I think that's also the ADD that kicks in me as well. Like I need something active and different every day for me to stay focused. And so I was like, well, if there's certain departments that I'm trying to work on in my life, then I probably need to dedicate a day for those issues for me to sit down and talk to God about them and be intentional about it. So there's a day of healing. I have a devotion for healing. There's a day of praying for other people. I have that day to pray for other people. I have a list of people I pray for. There's a day of just spending time literally talking to God by myself, journaling. You know, and I'll be honest, just for the single people, there's a day that I pray for my husband. I think that should be an everyday thing. But just because, you know, I'm trying to incorporate it in my life, I'm still learning. But there's that day as well. There is the day of resting in him. I have a devotion that speaks about resting in him. And so, but every day I'm talking to him, I'm praying to him. And it has made not just a difference in my life, but I'm starting to see the difference in my friends' life as well. My friends and my family members that I pray for, I'm like, ooh, okay. Okay, they're doing better. Okay. I see how God's changing that. All right. I see how they're learning lessons, just like I'm learning lessons in my day to day. So that's what it looks like. If without prayer, I feel like my life is definitely chaotic.
And you even talked about, you went up on it, what it looks like with prayer. And you said without prayer, there is a lack in your life, a clear lack of both spiritual fortitude and probably even mental fortitude, because you're not spending with him. And I would even say, and I don't want to say that for me, but personally, my friends and myself, I would say, hey, others can tell. After a while, they've lived life with you. If you are not connected to the vine in prayer, I just believe others can tell because it sets the tone for the day. One of the things I would tell both my mentees and my students in the past would be, hey, you become who you surround yourself with. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to surround yourself with things that are not of God, you're going to eventually become more not like Christ, because what you feed grows and what you starve dies. If we're growing our faith every day, we have to starve that sin nature in us.
Yes.
And the best way we can do that is be connected to the person that the sin can't even touch. Right?
Like, come on.
One of the scriptures I love, I can't fool with Morgana because she always gets me going.
Tell the truth. I love, if you preaching, brother, I'm going to tell you you're preaching, period.
I can't. But no, one of the scriptures we probably grew up with is 2 Corinthians. Yeah, it's 10 and 5. And it's talking about taking down every stronghold that puts itself on God. And it's kind of literally saying, hey, we don't battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities.
Yes.
Members. I think that's there as well. Right. Let me not lie. Let me look at it real quick. There we go.
I think the one that fighting against flesh and blood, that's Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 18. The only reason why I know that is because I say that verse every night before I go to bed. Because I'm not playing. But you're right. I think there's something. I do know there's something in Romans that's similar to that. Because, you know, sometimes they do a lot of scripture, a lot of repetitive verses. And
I know what it was. It's 10 and 3 is the flesh part. And it's okay. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh.
Yeah, there we go. Okay.
Because Paul wrote a lot of them. And it's for the weapons. Warfare are not flesh, but are divine power by the destroying of
strong. There we go.
That's what it was. But what I love about when he talks about that is he's helping us understand that a lot of our battles that we face are mental before they're physical. They're spiritual before they're actually visible in front of us. Conference, if we're not battling with prayer in the spirit first, we're not prepared for when it manifests itself physically. And I know Baptist people, I love y'all. Y'all know y'all gonna be a love set with me, but most of y'all already knew I'm Bapticostal at best anyway. They know it. I said it plenty of times. They're not gonna be hurt. They're gonna be like, Shaw did kind of tell us. We can't really be upset.
Right.
He said that from a stage a few times.
Right.
But why I say that is because if we can understand how much spiritual things are happening around us and not blaming the devil for everything, that's the other side of the pendulum where we're like, yeah, the devil, the reason my light's cut off. He ain't gonna have it today. Not today, Satan. And no, the reason your lights are off is because you didn't pay the bill.
Pay
3 months later. It's how it works.
You did not budget right, boo-boo.
But it's right. You didn't do the Dave Ramsey, and now we need you to lock it, right? But sometimes it is a spiritual battle when it's thing upon thing compiling, and you're spending time with the Lord. It's almost like that Job experience and that Job 1, where Job literally gets one bit of bad news and another bit of bad news and another bit of bad news. If you look at the story, the reason that happened is because the Lord told Satan, hey, I'll remove what you call a hedge around him, but you can't kill him.
Right?
The whole, what the Lord was trying to help us to understand, I believe through the scriptures is, hey, I'll let you bring suffering to him in my will, but I won't let you change my will for him past. Not able to spend time in prayer and actually spend time and learn about God's character for ourselves. We don't have what I like to say, relationship capital, be able to know, hey, there's got to be something I'm missing. Let me trust in them. That's the faith piece. Like, our faith is always going to be tempered if we're not able to spend time with the Lord and hear from him. That's just my personal belief and what I've seen in the scriptures. And I think that's the thing that we're running in danger with, because we're all human. We're all broken. If we're not learning to pull from the right source, we won't actually be able to walk in our purpose well, I feel like, personally. And so a lot of times, jump in there. What you got?
No, I was gonna say, and the interesting thing about this is that you always caught Job talking to God. Even when all that was happening, What was he doing? He was still coming back, even though he was upset, sad, depressed, whatever the case was, he was still talking to God. He was still praying to God. Hey, God, mm-hmm. what's really going on? So once again,
Job's like, hey, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. He's like, I done spent enough time with the Lord to know, yeah, I'm going to just wait and see how this plays out. Now, if you keep reading the book, it's a little bit, but it takes him a while. Yeah, yeah. You want it?
Yeah.
You want it?
Yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying, you know, it was a lot of questioning happening for him during that time to the Lord. So there's been times, I mean, yesterday, every week, I'm going to be honest with you, every week, I'm talking to the Lord, like, what's really going on? Huh? Uh-huh. I talk to my Lord and Savior, and I ask questions all the time. And he is so nice, because he could have just slapped me upside the head and went on and took me out. But grace, huh? Mm. Grace and mercy has taken place. And that's why he sent his son on the cross for crazy people like me that got too many questions.
I mean, if you ain't asking questions, I don't think you're doing it right. Jesus right. asked the question.
Yeah.
So for me, if he asked, hey, God, let's just level set for a minute. I'm starting to feel the weight of this sin a little bit. I know what I came here to do, but if there's a loophole, it's time for us to pull that loophole. It might be too much. Right? It might be just a little too much. And I'll do it for you. But, you know, Peter, I don't know about Peter, you know.
You know, but Judas,
he looked at me and still left. You know what I'm saying? But I'm with you. Like, I think for me, what I'm learning daily is our walk is a choice. We got to choose daily. Hey, I'm going to either try to figure this out on my own, which is that route without, or I'm going to connect to the source. Like, I was listening to something. I was reading this in my devotional I'm doing right now. I don't really care. I'll say who the artist is, because I still think he's a man of God, and it is what it is. By Tony Evans. Solid man of
God. Yeah.
I still respect
him. Yeah, for sure.
About how he used an analogy or illustration, that's the word, about how like a toaster or appliance can't fulfill its, like, doesn't power up without being plugged in. And then he continues to explain, hey, when it's plugged in, it's moving optimally, it's functioning the way it's meant to function. But if it's never actually plugged in, it can't function. And so what he was helping me to understand in his analogy was, hey, without being plugged in, we actually, into the source, that's God, we actually can't fulfill the purpose. And sometimes when we look and we're like, man, I'm just not burning on all cylinders, but I'm still doing good work. I think sometimes the Lord will honor that, but we aren't going to be able to do the actual assigned work well until we consistently plug into that source that is Him. And like, I just appreciate the reminder, oh, that's probably where the pride sticks in. If you're not careful, you get enough wins, whether it's in life, ministry, business, and you think it's you. And you forget, no, you're just the vessel the Lord's using. And that's just the platform. Are you using the platform for the actual purpose to have that conversation to bring somebody from death to life?
Yeah.
If you're not, then hey, kind of like Job say, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Don't get caught up in that taketh away section, because you're not looking at it. He told you to leave that job a long time ago, or whatever that may be. You know, so
it was. He will subtract in a minute, and I'll even share, and I think I've shared this on the pod before, just what I've gone through in the past. I had my Job season too. My apartment was sick. My job was first taken away from me, then my apartment, then my car. And I felt like everything that was in my mind, my identity was taken away from me. That I could say, yes, I have a degree. I work here. I live over here. My car is this. You know what I'm saying? So I thought that I did that. I thought I got the job. I thought I got the apartment. I thought I got the car. And God was like, you didn't get anything. I gave you all that, baby. You have been covered by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ this entire time. Yep, okay, yep. So do not get it twisted. So yep. I'm going to give it all back to you. But when I do give it to you, know who gave it to you. Me, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the everlasting God. Uh-oh. The name above all names. I don't know what else to tell you. Okay, so I said, okay, God. Hey, so now when the wait was God, the car outside, God. This apartment, God. My job, God. Everything in my life is G-O-D. I can't give it to nobody else but him. I refuse to take the glory. Give it all to him because he'll take it away now and show you again. You need me to show you again? You need some help? No, I don't. I'm good. It's you, God.
Go behind us and say, show you right. But, you know, that's before us. Right. No, I think you're right. And actually, this is going to work out perfect because I think we're going to break this up. But I think what I remember with you talking about this is when I was in college, not master's, but undergrad, there was a point where I had no more tuition for school. Approve me for any more student loans. I was like, what do you mean? Right. That's the system. That's the wheel. You're supposed to fish. You're saying I can't even, okay. New. I got all the way to the dorms, found out I wouldn't get approved for financial aid for any student loans. So I had no housing. Find this out while moving my stuff in by myself. Put my stuff back in my car, go to the housing office. They're like, yeah, you got to talk to financial aid. Go to financial aid. Yeah, you don't have any financial aid. Yeah. I said, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So you good with your class? I find somewhere to stay. I said, oh, all right. Cool. And so it transitioned from that season. I drove all the way back from Beaufort, South Carolina, back to Charleston, about an hour and a half. Went back to my little part-time job at a Moe's, figured out how much, and still part of my tuition that I had to pay that year. Figured out how much my tuition was going to be. I'm on like Zillow trying to find a randomized roommate. My job is waiting for me. That's paying like $12 an hour at the time, which at that time, y'all young,
that's a lot. Was making
$1 an hour, getting on all our nerves. That was a lot. You know, not $14 play, but I digress. I'm gonna come back. But all of this. I come back when school starts. I literally am like living in my car at the time. Shout out to Creative. I know what it is, but because I don't want to get him in no trouble. But my pastor found me basically a closet to sleep in for 5-6 days. Like I'm literally coming back, like tears in my eyes on the road. Like Lord, I don't know what else to do. Like I gotta finish. Right. And on the road, little Lord's like, hey, trust me, even in your broken seasons. All right, cool. Ended up where I got back. I was literally taking a shower, y'all, in the school's gym's locker room. We had just finished up a gym at the school. I'm sneaking in there early in the morning to cop a shower. Go to class, go to work, go back to this closet.
Yeah.
I don't say where the closet was, because the guy who gave me the closet, hey, appreciate you.
Shout out to
him. Right. Living off of a McDouble a day, basically, right? And so where I turn that is some of you guys who know me personally know a major transition happened last year, that yada, yada, yada. But the Lord checked me, because even with that season, I wasn't thinking about what was going on that season of college. I wasn't thinking about what was going on. I wasn't thinking about how unfortunate this was. I think I heard random noises in the building that I was sleeping in the closet, for lack of better terms. Just resting enough to get back up, do it again. But there was contentment in my heart because I knew the Lord was with me, right? Because I was praying enough, I was connected to the vine enough to not even let that stress me.